Hello, I'm Pastor Rick, and welcome to our podcast. I hope that the message that you're about to hear will bless and encourage you today. Are you ready to stand up? It's Time Change Sunday. Got to do something to keep us all awake, right? All right, I could hear some of you. If you've been in church for any length of time, if you've worked with children, in fact, down here in front, were you doing them too? You were doing the actions. I saw them. I saw the action. John, were you doing the actions? You should have been. Time Change Sunday, lose an hour of sleep, need something to wake us up. Wanted something also a little fun with a kind of a heavy topic. I'm going to try and not let it get as heavy as it's on my heart because it's important, and but I also don't want to put you to sleep. Okay, here we go. We are in a spiritual battle. I got a one yes, you are. No amens. I know I don't ask for amens very often, but let's try one today. We are in a spiritual battle. Amen. Amen. We sure are. The Bible declares that we're in a battle. We wrestle with spiritual forces. We have spiritual weapons and spiritual armor. We are in a spiritual battle. We are, whether we want to accept it or not, in the Lord's army. So I've got some bad news and some good news coming up on the screen. Just let me talk to you for a second. I have some bad news for you. The devil is coming for you, and you need to be ready. I have some good news for you. Jesus has already made available to you everything you need to meet the devil's attacks and come out victorious. All right. Again, Time Change Sunday, and I just want to get this in our hearts and in our minds. I want us to read either off the screen or off your notes. If you got a note sheet and can't read the screen, or you can't read the note sheet because it's too small and you can read the screen, I want everybody out loud. Let's repeat the bad news together. The devil is coming for me, and I need to be ready. So repeat it again. That was pretty good. Bad news. The devil is coming for me, and I need to be ready. What's the good news? Let's repeat it out loud together. Jesus has already made available to me everything I need to meet the devil's attacks and come out victorious. Not just to meet the attacks, to come out victorious. Yes. 2 weeks ago, I taught on how the devil can gain a foothold in our lives. If you did not see that message, it's online. Watch it or rewatch it. Truths are very important, but let me just remind you what a foothold is. A foothold, according to the online dictionary, is a secure position from which further progress may be made. It is a secure position from which further progress may be made. The online dictionary illustrates it this way. The company is attempting to gain a foothold in the Russian market. The devil is trying to get a foothold in your life. And if he can get a foothold in your life and you don't close the door on him, he gets his foot in the door, he is going to establish a secure position. And from that secure position, he's going to move and gain more footholds and more footholds and more difficulty in your life. The Lord Jesus Christ wants us to not live that way. So today, how to close the door on the enemy. Closing the door on the enemy is the title. I'll give a little bit of background information here, okay? Maybe you don't believe that there are demonic spirits or that there is a literal devil. or that there is a spiritual battle, and I can understand that. I know what is taught in universities or even in some seminaries. I have heard some of it. I was in university. I was in university many years ago before I was a Christian, and I had professors of religion that made me aware that what the Bible says about the devil is nothing more than ancient myth and stories, that those people were unable to understand the complexity of the human mind, which was discovered now by modern psychologists and psychiatrists. And so they came up with this concept of a devil and evil spirits and demons. I've heard that. I used to believe that. I don't any longer. And I'll explain why in just a moment. But I want to ask you a question. What if one of the devil's strategies is to get us to believe he's not real? That evil spirits are not real? That the whole realm of the spirit is not real? Then he can gain a foothold very easily in many people's lives. So, why does your pastor believe in demons and the devil? And I'm going to use interchangeably the term demon or evil spirit, fallen angel or unclean spirit. I found it real interesting. There's only one or two translations that actually translate the word in the scripture, demon to unclean spirit. But I have found that some of those believers from India, actually, that is the term that they use. That's the English term that they use all the time for demons. Because one time, one of our Indian brothers, I was talking about the subject. And he came, you keep talking about these demons. What are they? Are they the unclean spirits? That's the way they were taught. And I think it's kind of a good way of describing a demon as an unclean spirit. But do know that I'm going to be interchangeably using any or all of these terms in the message. So why do I believe in demons? Because Jesus believed in demons, and the early church believed in demons and the devil. Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them." Snakes and scorpions, illustrations for the demonic spirits. "You can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will injure you." In Acts, the Apostle Paul, I could have gone to lots of different places, both in Acts and the Gospels, but just to illustrate, in Acts chapter 16, Paul casts an evil spirit out of a slave girl. This particular spirit gave her the ability to tell fortunes. She was a fortune teller, and she was quite accurate because she made a lot of money for her owners. And when the demon was gone, when Paul cast a demon out of her, the girl couldn't function in this way any longer. Her owners were incredibly upset, and so Paul ended up in prison because of it. The Apostle Paul believed that demons were real. Jesus believed demons are real. The early church believed demons were real. Why do I believe demons and the devil are real? Because Jesus believed, because the early church believed. Because credible people, mature believers, have observed explicit manifestations of demonic supernatural phenomena. I have also observed this. Now, I am saying mature believers, credible people. I am not talking about those paranormal shows that are all over the internet and the History Channel right now, you know, whether those are encounters or not. But I'm talking about individuals who are credible, mature followers of Jesus Christ who have had experience with demonic spirits. There have been supernatural phenomena that cannot be attributed to anything but something spiritual, supernatural, making it happen. I have also observed this. And then the third reason that I believe in the supernatural realm of the devil and demons: people who receive specific prayer for deliverance from demonic oppression receive relief and freedom that lasts. There are some people that have had bondage in their life for years, if not decades. Very similar to what happens in the Bible when someone who has had a demonic spirit and has been in bondage is delivered by the power of Jesus and they remain free for the rest of their lives. So, those are three reasons. Now, you can still doubt the existence. I'm not going to try to prove, I can give you some materials, but I'm basing everything that I'm teaching today on the fact that your pastor and millions of other people believe in a demonic spiritual realm ruled by the devil and his minions, not the little yellow ones that Universal created, but just real spirits. Now, here's one of the problems. Believers in Western cultures, that's us, were raised primarily with a worldview that downplays or even denies the existence of the miraculous, spiritual gifts, divine healing, the existence of the demonic and the angelic. Now, in some churches like ours, this has been part of our doctrine for 100 years. But there are some that have been raised to believe that this stuff doesn't happen anymore, doesn't exist, that it was something that people just put a label on things that they couldn't understand, so they gave it spiritual names. As I said, that's the way I was raised. My religious tradition taught that. But whether my religious tradition taught it or your religious tradition taught that doesn't deny the reality of these things. And when it comes to the demonic, not believing that evil spiritual beings exist can open the door for the devil to gain a foothold. And this belief will certainly keep you from doing proper battle with the enemy because we don't even believe the devil and demons exist. Now, believers in other cultures that have more of a biblical worldview don't have any problem with the existence of the demonic, with the existence of the supernatural, with the existence of the angelic, and you know what? They will oftentimes see more supernatural power in existence because they don't have our worldview, our Western worldview. All right. All kinds of introductory comments. Now we're going to get to the notes, but I want us again, just to help keep me awake, if for no other reason, I got here this morning and it was like, oh, wow, I need coffee bad. And I actually thought of having a cup up here, but I'm going to just stick with water. Let's repeat the bad news and the good news again. Here we go. Bad news. Ready? The devil is coming for me, and I need to be ready. Me. I made it me. I wanted you to confess it, not that the devil's coming for us collectively, the devil's coming for you, and so I wanted you to say it me. Let's say it again. The devil is coming for me, and I need to be ready. But the good news is this, Jesus has already made available to me everything I need to meet the devil's attacks and come out victorious. Yes, in Jesus' name, we're coming out victorious. Okay, here we go. To close the door on the enemy. Number one, here's the first thing you must do. You must believe the enemy exists. We've already talked about that. You must believe the enemy exists. You will never close the door on the enemy's influence in your life if you don't believe in a devil and demonic spirits. And that may be as far as some people who might be listening to me, that may be as far as we're going to go in the message because everything else is built on this. If you do not believe the devil and demonic spirits exist, then you cannot close the door to his influence in your life. And that's where I'd encourage you to start to study the scripture, to study church history, to study what's going on in the modern times. And I can put you in touch with resources that will help you to understand what this spiritual world is like and that it is real. But to close the door on the enemy, you must believe the enemy exists. Now, there's a flip side. Some people do believe the enemy exists. Some people believe it so much it terrifies them. Here's a concern I have, parents. Here's a concern I have, young people. Here's a concern I have, online audience. Our children are growing up with a steady diet of horror and demonic films. You don't think there's anything wrong with them. They don't think there's anything wrong with them, but a fear is being built into their heart. And some of them are living in such fear of these things, and it can continue into adulthood. You say, oh, I don't see anything wrong with that stuff. That's fine. When you have touched the reality of it, as some of us have, and you have actually been in the room with someone who was strongly oppressed by a demonic spirit, that stuff is no longer fun. And And I know I grew up on horror films too, and I know that the fun, mine were pretty mild, you know, The Wolfman and Frankenstein and King Kong and Godzilla, The Creature from the Black Lagoon, The Old Mummy, not The New Mummy. But even those things put some fear into my heart. I knew a grown woman once. I don't know who might, you know, identify with this. I knew a grown woman once. And she said, I don't like talking about the devil. It frightens me. And it is my policy to ignore him, and then I know he'll leave me alone. I don't like talking about the devil. It frightens me. It is my policy to ignore him, and then he will leave me alone. Ignorance about the demonic world and how they can attack you will not keep him from doing so. But he just hoped, she just hoped, that he would just leave her alone. I'm not going to think about him. And this comment came up because I shared some of these concepts many, many decades ago at another church, and it just surprised me that she said, yep, we're just not going to talk about him. Listen, pastor, you shouldn't be talking about it at this church, because as soon as you talk about him, it attracts his attention. I'm thinking, not talking about him probably is attracting his attention more than talking about him, because I want to prepare you to close the door to the enemy in your life. It's just another ploy of the enemy. Number two, how do we close the door on the enemy? First of all, you must believe that the enemy exists. Two, you must believe, and I really highlighted this word, you have authority over evil spirits. Many people don't have any problem believing that Jesus has authority over evil spirits. They don't have any problem believing that maybe the pastor has authority over evil spirits, because somehow when we go to Bible school, they train us in this stuff. Pastor Evan, did you get trained in it? Not? Yes, that's true. Neither did I in Bible school. It was brought up, but we're not trained in it. So we're going to look at God's Word today, a couple of passages of Scripture. I'm going to be doing some teaching on this. We'll see how far we get in my notes. If we can get through all seven of them, that'd be fantastic. If we get through only four, that's where we'll stop. So coming up on the screen, Book of Ephesians. Two passages in the Scripture that spend a great deal of time helping us to understand this whole concept of the evil spiritual world. Paul says this, Ephesians chapter 6, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. A non-being does not have strategies. Only a being can have strategies. The devil is the ruler of all of the demonic realms. He has strategies. The Word of God tells us that we should be strong in the Lord, in his mighty power. We're to put on all of God's armor so that we may be able to, what are those next two words? Stand what? Firm. Stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Your translation may say we're not wrestling against flesh and blood enemies. I actually prefer the word wrestling because it's close, personal, hand-to-hand combat. Fighting nowadays takes place at about 12,000 feet where bombs are dropped or drones fly over. That's the way we see modern fighting. In those days, they saw fighting as up close, hand-to-hand, sword-to-sword, shield-to-shield, knife-to-knife, fist-to-fist. So the translations actually say we wrestle not against flesh and blood enemies, I think are a little bit more of a proper depiction of what this spiritual battle is like. The enemy is not across the room. He's up close. He's personal. He wants to get a foothold in your life, and he wants to exercise authority. For we are not fighting, verse 12 again, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Three different descriptions of what this battle is taking place with evil rulers and authorities, mighty powers in the dark world, evil spirits in the heavenly places. It's just ways that Paul is painting the battle that we're fighting. It's against a lot of enemies. And they are unseen, they are mighty, and they are evil. Verse 13. So what are we to do? Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. There is a wrestling, there is a battle, and you are in it, whether you believe it or not. The question is, are you victorious? Many believers are not, because either they don't believe there's a battle, they don't believe in the spiritual world, or they have not yet learned how to close the door on the enemy, which is why I'm teaching this material. Jesus said this in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 1 first. It says, the Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to the towns and places he planned to visit. Just so you get a little context of what took place. And then Jesus gave them some direction, things that they were supposed to do. They were supposed to go in. They were supposed to preach the good news. And the last thing that they were supposed to do is they were to heal the sick. So they were to minister with the gospel. Okay? Now let's find out what happened, starting in verse 17, coming up on the screen. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. What would a demon have to do if he's going to obey them? Come out of people. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Even the demons obey us. And they joyfully reported this. And then Jesus said, yes, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Look, and this is verse 19. This is where I want us to look at. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Now, what was point two again? You must believe you have authority over evil spirits. Jesus gave it to you. It's right here. He gave it to the 72 and he passed it on to us. I have given you. Or if you said it back to me, Evan, you could say, I have given you, and you can point to me. Because I have it. I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. You have the authority. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But then he says, but don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your name are registered in heaven. Your names are registered in heaven is actually much more important to Jesus than the authority that he gives, but the authority is still important. Number one, you've got to believe, that the enemy exists. Number two, you must believe you have authority over evil spirits. Number three, you must believe you're in a spiritual battle. You must believe you're in a spiritual battle. If you ignore the fact that you're in a spiritual battle, then the enemy can get a foothold. He can defeat you. And he doesn't just necessarily hit you over the head. He subtly comes in, and he begins to wreak havoc on your life. It doesn't happen right away. It happens subtly and slowly. That's why people fall away, slowly but surely. The enemy works upon you. So you must believe that you are in a spiritual battle. There was some controversy years ago, and it still is among some denominations, about the song Onward, Christian Soldiers. Anybody remember that one? Onward, Christian Soldiers, marching as to war. First of all, I don't particularly care for the hymn, and so worship team, don't worry about it. You'll never do it. But the interesting reason that it was removed from many different denominations' hymn books, and it wasn't because it was an old-fashioned hymn. It wasn't because of the 1, 2, 3, 4, hup, 2, 3, 4. It's because its warring call to Christians, quoting now from Christian Century Magazine, its warring call to Christians to raise the battle flag has long outlived its youthfulness. In a world grown weary of religious strife, a world where the word crusades arouses much anger and embarrassment, few are nostalgic for a hymn that celebrates Christian soldiers marching to war. The problem is, whether people want to not sing the hymn, that's not the problem. The problem is that much of the Christian church has forgotten the truth of the hymn. Much of the Christian church has forgotten the truth of the hymn that you are in a spiritual battle. Number four, this is also some truth. You must believe you are a soldier in the Lord's army and you volunteered for service. You must believe you are a soldier in the Lord's army and you volunteered for service. When you opened your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, you volunteered. I know some of you were in the military. You volunteered. My dad, he did not volunteer. He was drafted. So sometimes that's, you know, Jesus, we think, well, Jesus will draft some. He'll draft the ones who are really, no, you volunteered for service. You volunteered as a soldier in the Lord's army. You've got to believe the enemy exists. You must believe you have authority over the enemy. You must believe you're in a spiritual battle. You must believe you are a soldier in the Lord's army and you volunteered for service. Pastor Rick Warren said this, and the quote is in your note sheets coming up on the screen. The most often used analogy for Christians in the Bible is of soldiers. The words that are often used to describe the Christian life are war terms: fight, conquer, strive, battle, overcome, victory. We are living in enemy territory when we live in the world. Scripture makes it very clear. You are a soldier in the Lord's army, and you are in a battle. You must believe that, or you will lead your spiritual life, leaving doors open for the enemy to gain a foothold and to keep you defeated. Let's again shake out the cobwebs of Time Change Sunday. Here's the bad news. Let's say it out loud again. The bad news. Wait till it comes up on the screen. Did I put the slide in there? Yes, there it is. The bad news. Let's say it together. Ready? The devil is coming for me, and I need to be ready. The good news, Jesus has already made available to me everything I need to meet the devil's attacks and come out victorious. Number five. I'm going to park here. We may stop here. We may go on. You must believe it's your fight, not God's fight. Oh, the individuals that have wrestled with this. Because too many people say, oh, well, God's going to take care of that. No, you must believe it's your fight, not God's fight. It's your fight, not God's fight. Jesus said, I have given you authority. You are to take on the weapons. You are to take on the full armor of God. You are the one who's going to be wrestling. I have met so many believers, even believers who believe in the demonic realm, that say, oh, God's got that. I don't have to worry about it. If I'm a believer, Jesus has got me protected. The blood of the Lamb covers me, and the devil can't touch me. That's not what the Bible says. The blood of the Lamb does cover you, and the devil can attack you. You must believe it is your fight, not God's fight. And here's something else. Too many people say, oh, Jesus, Jesus, deliver me. Deliver me. Jesus, come and free me from the devil. If you're a believer, Jesus says, yeah, great. I already gave you the weapons. I already gave you the authority. You take the authority. Not that there are times when we're baby Christians where Jesus doesn't come in and just kick him out of the way. But for the most part, you have to understand that you already have the authority, you already have the spiritual armor, you already have the spiritual weapons, and it is your fight, not God's. You need to stand firm, not because God has been fighting in front of you. Certainly, he blesses you, he's around you, but when he's given us a job, and he has, he's given us authority over all the power of the enemy, then we have to realize it's our fight. And I hope I didn't, I'm passionate about this because I have seen so many people defeated in their Christian walk, waiting for God to break through supernaturally, when God is saying, you've got it, boy. When you are an athlete and you have a coach, the coach doesn't run the race. The coach trained you for the race. He may run with you in practice. He may show you how to pass a baton. He may show you how to get off the blocks in your 50-meter or 100-meter dash or in the 4x4 relay, whatever it is. He's going to train you, but when it comes time for race time, the coach is not in the starting blocks. He's in the stands or on the sidelines. You're in the race. When it comes to the battle, your champion, Jesus, has already given you everything. He will be cheering for you, but the battle belongs to you because the enemy attacks you and he has given you authority, all authority, and he has given you spiritual armor, and he wants you to stand up and fight. Back in Ephesians again, chapter 6, verse 12 says this, for we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but implied, we are fighting against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. God will take care of it. I don't have to worry about it. When it comes to spiritual battle, not an acceptable response. And people like that get crushed by the enemy. You will need to fight. And God is for you. Number six. Yeah, let's go ahead. We're going to finish today. Number six. In your fight, the expectation is that after the battle, you will be standing. In your fight, the expectation is after the battle, you will be standing. Verse 13 of Ephesians 6, therefore put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you're standing. After the battle, you're not laying bloodied with a sword through your heart, and the devil is going, I got another one. After the battle, the expectation is for God's people that you're the one standing. You stand. You have put on every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, and then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. And number seven, you can expect to stand because you have the necessary equipment available to you. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the spiritual authority Jesus has given us. We have spiritual armor. We have the ability to walk in a way that prepares us for this battle that we will face. What many people lack is knowledge of how to fight the enemy, how to stand against his attacks. You won't know how to close the door to the enemy when he's gained a foothold, or you won't know how to keep the door closed unless you understand these seven principles. To close the door on the enemy, you must believe that the devil and demonic spirits exist. You must believe that you have authority over them. You must believe that you are in a spiritual battle. If you're going to close the door on the enemy, you must believe you're in a spiritual battle. To close the door on the enemy, number four, you must believe you are a soldier in the Lord's army and that you volunteered for service. Number five, you must believe it is your fight, not God's fight. You will never be successful in keeping the door of the enemy closed if you're waiting for God to keep it bolted shut for you. You have the authority. It is up to you. Number six, in your fight, the expectation is after the battle, you will be standing. That's why the good news is Jesus has already made available to me everything I need to meet the devil's attacks and come out victorious, or to come out standing firm. And number 7, you can expect to stand because you have the necessary equipment available to you. Let's repeat the bad news and good news again. Here we go. Ready? What's the bad news? The devil is coming for me, and I need to be ready. What's the good news? Jesus has already made available to me everything I need to meet the devil's attacks and come out victorious. Yes, in Jesus' name. And that's why I'm teaching these things. I want you to be able to come out victorious, standing. I want you to close the door on the enemy in your life. Jesus told us very clearly what the devil's plans are, and Jesus told us very clearly what his plans are. Team, if you'd make your way back to your platform. Let's read them again from John chapter 10, verse 10. This is from the New King James Version. The thief does not come. That's the enemy, another term for him. The devil does not come except, this is his job, to steal and to kill and to destroy. He has one purpose for you and your life, to steal, to kill, and destroy. Nick, I'm just going to talk to you. He has one purpose, to steal from you joy, peace, even your salvation if he could, to kill you emotionally, and to destroy your life. That he has only has one purpose, one purpose. Barb, the devil only has one purpose for you, Barb. One purpose, to steal, kill, and destroy. Sometimes he'll go after your family. He'll try to steal your family. He'll try to kill hope. He'll try to destroy relationships. I can go across this room. Nathaniel, the devil has only one job when it comes to you. He wants to steal and kill and destroy your life. But Jesus goes on to say, that'd be a terrible place to stop it, wouldn't it? The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come, Nick, Jesus has come that you may have life. But the next part, look what it says up there. Don't look at me. Two words, and have it more abundantly. Barb, Jesus has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Nathaniel, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Today, right now, more abundantly. But we've got to grab onto him, we've got to take it, and we've got to walk in the way that he says. Closing the door and keeping the door closed to the enemy is not an easy task. I'm not trying to make this easy. Because the devil does not give back easily that which we have given him access to. We're going to talk more about this next time because there's still more to this. I got through 7 this week, but there's other things I got to talk to you about. You're saying, Pastor, why do you just spend so much time on this? Because I have spent, 30 plus, 40 years in ministry. I've walked as a believer for about 40 plus years, and I have seen too many people walking in defeat that wouldn't have to if they understood the authority they have and what the enemy is after. Luke 10:19, Jesus said this. Once again, look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among the snakes and the scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. Crush them. Crush them. Stand, if you would, please. I'm going to speak a word of scripture over you, one that we haven't used in the message. It's not going to come up on the screen. I'm going to speak it over you. It's Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. The Apostle Paul says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. What things? All the negative things that can come. And then he goes and says this, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, and here it comes again, the early church believed this, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created being shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No angel, no principality, no power, names that are given to the enemy's forces, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. In all of these things, you and I are more than conquerors. He wants us to have life more abundantly. We are more than conquerors. Lord Jesus, thank you for the truth of the authority which you have given us in Jesus' name. Lord, for the one who has never heard this before and is going to begin to practice it in their life, may they see how successful they can be with the authority that Jesus has as they close the door on the enemy. Lord, as I give additional teaching, Lord, may they begin to apply it in their life. But today, may they start with the belief in the supernatural. May they start with the belief that they're in a battle. But also may they believe that they have authority, they have spiritual weapons, and ultimately, they will stand and be victorious. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for this message from Columbus First Assembly. If this message has blessed you in any way, would you share it on your social media feeds so that others can be blessed also? If you would like to join us for an in-person service and you're close to us, we are in Columbus, Indiana, then our services start at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings and our church is located on the corner of 10th and Iowa. Once again, thanks for joining us. Look forward to having you join us again soon.